Are we on? Can you hear me? I will today. My voice is cracking. We're in Judges, and we're going to be in the first chapter in just a moment. Since we've got everything ready here, I hope. Before we get into Judges 1, this is one of the slides that I used in introduction, and I think this will get us going into Judges 1. And it was the failure of Israel to drive out the Canaanites, and that was probably one of the big things. Well, it was a big thing with God that it said in striving the repeated apostasies and subsequent invasion and oppressions of Israel. We're going to see that this is going to happen over and over and over again, that the chosen people, will leave God. And then God will have one of the other countries come in and invade them. And then he'll bring up one of the judges and to help them out. And then the children of Israel will correct themselves. And then they'll go back to repeat their cycle. They get called fat and sassy. They get prosperous. And they start leaving God then. It was necessary to establish the reason why God allowed such treatment of the chosen people, okay? That reason was their failure to obey God's instruction regarding driving out of the corrupt pagan nations of Canaan. All right. Did God tell them to drive out the Canaanites? And what else did he tell them to do?
Utterly destroy.
Okay. Utterly destroy the Canaanites. Okay. Why? Bros.
Go back to what he told Abraham. So the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full.
Yes.
So,
right.
Or wants the people to do something.
Okay. If the Israelites, the chosen people, do not utterly destroy the Canaanites, what will happen?
They become corrupted.
Do what?
They become a thorn in their side.
Okay.
They will corrupt the Israelites just like they did.
All right. That's what has happened. God prophesied that they would do this. And sure enough, they came in and they didn't utterly destroy, which we'll find out in the first chapter, especially midways and on to the back, that they did not utterly destroy the Canaanites. And what did it say about a little leaven? It will, and that's what happened. You had a little leaven there. You had the little bit of the evil, and you would think maybe that the goodness will take care of the evil, but no, the evil corrupts the goodness. And so that's right. He instructed them to utterly destroy and to drive out the Canaanites completely. The conquest of Canaan, which Joshua did, was successful, but the failure of the Israelite to make a complete destruction now, a complete destruction of the pagan inhabitants, the door was left open for all of the troubles that came upon Israel in the time of the judge. What happens when you leave the door open just a little bit?
We'll see as we go through this, the ago within the church, and it's exactly the same thing as the Israelites and the Canaanites. They didn't put them out of the land or destroy them, and therefore they were influenced by them, and over hundreds of years, it's about really all the time of Israel, almost. This was the seed of all their disobedience and their being lax on pagan worship. Even Solomon was subject to this when he was king.
You brought up a kid, Linda. Okay, very good point with that way.
And it's not just that. It's the idols, of course, but it's also the practice of the idolatry and the idolatrous worship. And it involved sexual sins for a lot of it because of the worshiping the Baals and the Ashtaroths and those things. And that's what they corrupted the children as they were in the wilderness. That's how Balaam and Balak were successful.
And the really the sad part about this is that what we're reading about here, and we see what had happened with them, and this is history here, people, that they kept on making the same mistakes over and over and over again. Well, it's happening today, and if once you leave the door partway open, then you're letting about anything come into the church. And let me tell you, it's here. It's coming in. It's been here. You can see example after example of members of the church, like I was talking about. Yeah, that's fine. We're harmonious. God is a loving God. Excuse me. And we can... worship together. You just worship your way and we'll worship our way, everything, and we'll be united in worshiping God, but we'll be doing it separate. But it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Can't. It's amazing how Christ's light can bring us out of darkness, and we turn around, leave the light, and go back to the darkness. Andy? Kenny?
slightly confused about some of this because in Judges chapter 3, it says that the Lord left these that he might test the children of Israel by the people left in the land. So it's almost like, sure, he commanded them to be completely wiped out of the land, but it's almost like the Lord left them in there. The first five verses, especially chapter 4, he left them that he might test Israel by them to know whether they would obey the commandments of the Lord, which he had commanded by their fathers by the hand of Moses.
Okay. How long does it take for the faithful to leave the Lord? How many generations does it take? It takes one generation. And here, we're talking about two and three generations away. And look what had become. You take one generation to leave the Lord, but look what they had become when you're in generation two and three. Now, what generation are we in right now? You think about, again, in the earlier years and things, how the church was in the turn of the century, how the church was, and look how it's progressed from one generation to the next, one family to the next family. They don't teach the children. They don't stay with it. And what did the Lord say he's going to be doing? You're going to be tested. You're going to be under trial. You're going to have trials and persecution and everything and see how you are with these things. And we're failing. Let me just tell you, we're failing big time. Just like these children here, the chosen, these are God's chosen people. These are Israelites. And they repeatedly fail. And why do they keep on failing? As we go through Judges here, look at the people, what they do. Why didn't they utterly destroy the people? But some of them says they couldn't destroy them. And other ones, what did they do with the people? They used the people. That's what it was. So watch as we go through Judges here with it, how the children of Israel change. And you're going to see some here in the first chapter. But we'll get to it here in a few minutes. Kenny, that's all right.
Neil's question.
You go ahead. you started, Annie. Go ahead and finish that, and I'll get Kenny.
Shall become as a thorn in your side, and their God shall be a snare to you. And it came about when the angel spoke these words to all the sons of Israel, that the people lifted up their voices and wept, because they were rebuked by an angel sent from God about things they had not done. And so this was not a God saying, I think I'll give these people a nice home, but you haven't done what I said, therefore I'm going to make up a thorn on your side. I'm going to make them take away your sons and daughters toward evil, so you will be punished. And the people cried, verse 5, so they named that place Bochim, and there they sacrificed to the Lord.
Kenny? As we've been talking about, the reason why all this trouble has come upon the children of Israel is what we talk about, because he had commanded them to utterly destroy the people, to drive them out, get rid of them, get them away from you. You don't need to be associated with them, okay? They're evil. They're dark. You're light. They're different with it. And he had told them, he says, you left the door open. And when you leave the door open, all the trouble that came upon Israel in the time of the judges, it wasn't God. God's not going to keep on doing everything for you. He, number of times, come back and saved them repeatedly. Did they ever learn? No. They kept on repeating the same mistakes over and over and over again. And it just happens that it just takes one generation for all that to come about. They come and get prosper again. And that's when the door was open, evil came in. God's going to be testing these people, and we're going to see them. And they failed it completely. He had told them beforehand. He prophesied that you will leave me. You will seek after idols. You won't worship the true God. The true God that made this world, the earth, all the good things in it, you will leave me for these idols that cannot do a thing. Where you can see them, like Linda's talking about. You can feel and touch it. But what can they do for you? Nothing. And what did God do for them over and over again? The best part.
You're their problem when they call out to
you. You're right. Thus, all of the 12 tribes utterly failed. All 12 tribes failed to obey the divine judgment regarding the extermination of the pagan population of Canaan. And the completeness of that failure is emphasized by the retelling here in the chapter of the first chapter of Judges. This shameful lapse on the part of Israel was loaded with terrible consequences, and he talks about it. Not only did the Israelites associate with the residential of pagan elements of Canaan, they live among them, everything. They made slaves of them. They had them to serve them. That's what they were looking for. Then they began to intermarry with them. They indulged in the worship of their fertility gods with his shameful licentiousness. They forgot God. And in time, became just as evil as the Canaanites, who God had driven out before them. And you can see how evil the Canaanites was, and they became just like them. That's a sad comment about God's chosen people. They're that evil. That they turned away from God. Any other thoughts or questions on that? Andy.
Mm-hmm. And so, in our day, if we associate with evil, then it's easier to associate again. And in time, we have to be influenced by it unless we remove ourselves from it. And that's all kinds of evil. That's even false doctrine, where people profess Christ but they're not following Christ's commandments. And to the other spectrum, where it's drugs and alcohol and whatever it might be, evil. And so we just have to watch to our left and to our right and behind us to stay away from evil.
Yes. Thank you. All right. Chapter 1. I'm going to break these into sections here in the Judges of chapter. I think it'll make it easier for us. As we get into Judges, the first chapter, there's going to be some people's names and towns and cities and regions and area I don't count out for pronunciation. You pronounce it however you want to. Well, I'll figure it out, and other people will too. So don't worry about that. How you pronounce it. I'm not the world best. Even looking these things up and having people that supposedly know how to pronounce these are different, have different pronunciations of them anyway. But in Judges chapter 1, verses 1 through 7, now after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, who shall be first to go up for us against the Canaanites to fight against them? And the Lord said, Judah shall go up. Indeed, I have delivered the land into his hand. So Judah said to Simeon, his brother, come up with me to my allotted territory, that we may fight against the Canaanites, and I will likewise go with you to your allotted territory. And Simeon went with him. Then Judah came up, and the Lord delivered the Canaanites and the Perizzites into their hand. And they killed 10,000 men at Bezek. And they found Adonai Bezek in Bezek, and fought against him, and they defeated the Canaanites and the Perizzites. Then Adonai Bezek fled. And they pursued him and caught him and cut off his thumbs and big toes. And the Danite, Bezek, said, 70 kings with their thumbs and big toes cut off used to gather scraps under my table. As I have done, so God has repaid me. Then they brought him to Jerusalem, and there he died. Okay. Now, here's the time frame. We're finally getting to it. After the death of Joshua. Joshua is the one that led, after Moses, led the children into Canaan, or into the promised land. It came to pass that the children asked the Lord. Now, I don't know if it found out. How did the children ask the Lord? How could they do that? Did all the children just gather together and talk and say, what? Lord, what's going on? How? Who talked to the Lord for the children of Israel?
Priests.
All right.
Well,
you had Moses and everything, but he's not there, so it's the high priest. Eleazar is the high priest now. And it may be, it may not, it doesn't say, so I don't know. But if that's true, he came there and says, the children wanted to know. This is what they wanted to know of the Lord. All right. Who shall be first to go up against the Canaanites to fight against them? And that's what the children were really interested in. First of all, who's going up first and who are we going to be fighting against? And the Lord answers them and says, Judah shall go up. Indeed, I have delivered the land into his hand. Okay? It wasn't Judah. It wasn't Simeon. It was the Lord that gave them the land or the territory that they had. It wasn't, people had come to the realization there, or should come to the realization, what the Lord has heard from them. But they, and this generation, have not. They're far removed. They don't know who truly, what God has done for the people. And he tells them that, yes, Judah shall have a territory in Simeon, but I will give it to them. I will be the one that will be victor over them. If you look now in Genesis 49, verses 8 to 10, you'll see where Jacob predicted about Joshua. 49 verses 8 and 10. If you remember, Jacob was blessing his children, and he comes to Judah in chapter verse 8, excuse me, of 49. Judah, you are he whom your brothers shall praise. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's children shall bow down before you. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He bows down, he lies down as a lion, and as a lion who shall rouse him. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and to him shall be the obedience of the people. And I think that is part of the blessings that Jacob had to Judah, that he will be the one that's going to be a leader among the people. If you look at the map, this is not actually the map I want, but that's a long story. So I'll just say we'll use this one for right now. But if you will look down the lower part, you'll see that Simeon is surrounded by Judah. Judah's in green at the bottom. Let's see. It would be on your left-hand side, I guess. So you can see why Simeon would want to help out Judah to come into the territory, and why Judah wanted Simeon to help out, because Simeon, actually, the land is surrounded by Judah with this. And if you go back and look at the numbers wise, Simeon's territory was surrounded by Judah. The two tribal census shows a steep decline among the Simeonites from the wilderness, which had over 59,000 to over 22,000 at the time of the conquest. That's a big difference. And some of the, and you will find out too that some of the cities that Simeon conquered the will be given to Judah with it. But one thing you want to look at and notice here is Adonai. Of course, people pronounce that different. That's the name of the... You'll find out most cities and a lot of times villages and towns are named after some person. So Bezek is named after Adonai Bezek. And he is a little bit larger, apparently, come from it, and fought against them. But he had conquered some villages around about. But it was interesting that he cut off the thumbs and the big toe. You ever think about that? The loss of one thumb would prevent the use of any weapons of war. And the loss of his great toes would make him flight impossible. Such a treatment might have been imposed at a lesser penalty than the death, as it and enabling the conqueror to procure the service of the defeated. And as we talked about before, that how they wanted the Canaanites, part of them, to become their slaves or servants. And so to keep Bezek in line, cut off his thumb so he couldn't use an item of weapon in war, and he couldn't fly it with his big toe or very swiftly. But where do you think the children learned that, the children of Israel? Because he said, 70 kings with their thumbs and big toes, verse 7. Cut their thumbs and big toes cut off, used to gather straps under my table. In other words, he had them as servants or slaves for him, and he gave them the straps from his table. And he says, the Lord's given it back, what I've done. And really, actually, per se, the children of Israel were not supposed to mutilate according to the law. But it didn't take them very long to figure it out. That they say, well, if he can do this, why can't we do it too? And that's what they did. Well, we'll begin really around about verse 8 come Wednesday evening. Thank you very much.